A year ago, the draft was just about the only event in the world that you actually could punt on. We were in the middle of a pandemic, and I think many people discovered the draft and how fun of an event it is to bet on and the opportunities that there are available to make money. And this year, there's plenty on. Everything's back on, thankfully. But still, it's still a great event, as we all know, and it takes place Friday morning, Australian time. And I would have just let Nettie create his awesome NFL content as he does, you know, through the season, and he was going to have the draft covered. But the 2021 draft is shaping to be monumental for the league. For a lot of teams, who they pick on Friday is going to shape their franchise. I'm not even exaggerating. So we're going to preview it for you guys, and then I've got a 10-minute solo NBA segment. So people who follow Tripod know Nettie, the Nettie Given Sunday segment and all the epic previews and content he gives us. Welcome, Nettie. And then I've got a first-time guest to the Tripod, Jackson, here from YKTR. I'm a huge fan of YKTR, the vlogs, interviews, podcasts.
Thanks for having me on, man. Nettie Given Sunday is the best name I've heard for a punt in a long time. I like that. That's cool.
Can I start with a couple of questions for you, Jackson, off the bat? Yeah, answer them both. First is, let us know who your team is. And second, has anyone ever said that you look like Jake or Logan Paul?
Unfortunately, to both of those things, I have two very unfortunate answers. Yes, I look exactly like Logan Paul and have less than half of the income, but that's all good. But yeah, unfortunately, bro, I'm a Jets supporter, and I got asked this the other day. I'm not actually even sure why. It's one of those things back when you're coming out of high school, playing Madden, random picked a team. Geno Smith could run, so I decided I was going to go with the Jets. And I've only kind of really been like balls deep in my – sorry about that's a weird analogy. I've only been like mad into my NFL kind of in the last 5 or 6 years. But obviously with All American Sports, as you know, man, I just love the theater of it all. I almost love the offseason and the draft stuff more than the regular season. I just fucking froth this shit. So I'm looking forward to getting schooled on a bit of NFL knowledge from your boy as well. But, yeah, man, that's me. I'm the fake Logan Paul-looking Jet supporter, so it's a bit of a sad life when you put it like that.
Mate, the terminology you use there, you're going to fit just right in. And we're going to keep this quite casual. We're going to go through basically just pick by pick. Nettie, I know you've already shared some bets. You can let us know what you have or what you're looking to bet. You can throw them in like as we go. And obviously, guys, odds on these markets and opinions can change. Literally one tweet, one report can change a lot and swiftly. But this is certainly where we're at right now, what we're thinking for draft week. So let's just begin. I'll let you start, Nettie, and then I'll throw to you, Jackson. But just talk to me about Trevor Lawrence. Like, how, because obviously he's going to go number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're wearing their jersey. How good do you think he's going to be?
Oh, well, there's too many different sort of NFL draft analysts that have all saying the same sort of thing about him. And that's, he's one of the most polished products since or even before Andrew Luck. You know, clean character, got all the size, can throw, can run. And I think that's the one thing that sort of goes underrated in his, is that he's actually got a decent set of wheels on him. He can run. And like I said, making all the throws, he has the experience. It wasn't like a 1 or 2 year career and then bounce sort of thing. Like, he's been there, been successful for a long time, won the national championship. What more do you possibly want? And then when you have someone who is clean character, there's no negative side to it whatsoever, you can't really fuck this pick up. You just sort of have to take it and go. Like, I think the only blemish that has come out was that one in the last week or two where I think it was his old man or his coach or something like that said that if he walked away from the game today, it wouldn't worry him. And I think because of what happened with Andrew Luck, everyone's arsehole just puckered that little
That's a fair question, because even I think it was only about 2 years ago, Josh Rosen, they said that, you know, he doesn't love the game and all this. Mm-hmm. And like, he's basically out of the league, and he was what, like a top 10 pick for sure. Anyway, what are your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence, Jackson? Have you seen much of him play college ball?
First of all, you look exactly like Josh Rosen, so now that's what I'm going to go with. Look, he's the presumptive number one pick for a reason. You know, the sunshine-looking character, he's been the presumptive number one pick for a long time. I thought it was a lock. I don't see how they can fuck this pick up. Aside that, as much as I love my jean shorts wearing Gardner Minshew, they need a quarterback bad. I mean, they've got a lot of other needs there in Jacksonville, but you start with the head of the snake, and that's Trevor Lawrence. Gun college career, can make all the throws. I understand people's trepidations when he comes out and says, you know, it's not, he's not going to live and die by a Super Bowl. Like, you kind of, because we've been conditioned that Tom Brady mentality, that Kobe Bryant mentality is all that you need to get it done. Mate, these young kids have got other interests, and he can still go out there and fucking ball. So I get that did scare people off, but when you watch him play in college, he's undeniable. I think Trevor Lawrence is a surefire, can't fuck up. He's not going to bust. He's going to be a very, you know, his floor, I think, is a very good NFL quarterback, and his ceiling is fucking who knows, man. He could be as good as he wants to be.
And that's probably why Urban Meyer took the job. He's come from a juggernaut Ohio State and then a couple of years off, and he's got that Jacksonville roster. He gets to come in, gets to have Trevor Lawrence, and they've got plenty of other picks as well. Actually, I'll go back to you, Jackson, because you said you're a long-suffering Jets fan, or at least 5 years of suffering. Geno Smith, of all people to rope you in, didn't go that well. Maybe this guy can change the fortune of this franchise. Do you think much of Zach Wilson? He's the presumptive number two pick. A lot of people saying this draft starts at three. So what do you make of Zach Wilson going to the Jets?
Yeah, I put out my mock draft for like ATR today, and it was kind of wishful thinking. I would love to see them take Justin Fields. I know that all the mail is that they're going to go Zach Wilson, and you know, you guys would be able to tell me if the mail is that strong at this time of the year. It's probably for one reason, because it's right. I wish they would take Justin Fields. I'm a big resume guy, and if you played at BYU, I just don't give a fuck. I know he's got the talent, and I've consumed as much Zach Wilson film as I could possibly consume in the last 10 days, and he looks lethal. He looks elite. You know, they've thrown that little Patrick Mahomes comparison around, but for me, Justin Fields played in the better competition, went above and beyond, physically hurt in those last few games last year, and just carried the team on his back. So he's more athletic, and I think we can all see the league is sort of trending towards that more athletic quarterback, even though Tom Brady still keeps doing the damn thing. So I would love them to take Justin Fields. I don't think they can miss on Zach Wilson. He looks good as well. But, you know, the Jets fan in me is hoping that there's a bit of a draft day shocker and they take Fields.
Well, Fields is fascinating where he lands. But let's assume the odds are not going to be wrong when it's like $1.02 that Wilson's probably going to go to the Jets. So what do you make of him, Nettie? And have you got any comparisons for us?
Well, I'm totally with him there. Like, for me, once the Panthers started losing towards the end of the year, I started to watch the quarterbacks a lot more closely in college. And I remember it was sort of a one-game standout where I think it was like three or four, I might have even been five touchdowns in the first half, and I was like, who the fuck is this kid? And then started looking into him. And then you see that he plays more of that backyard ball where he slings it, flings it all around, all that sort of stuff, so he creates that hype for it. So, yeah, his ceiling could be somewhere up towards what Pat Mahomes did, but he's also got that smaller sort of career. Like, I think he got hurt in his first year or something like that, and he had that meteoric rise. So you can look at that as a Joe Burrow-type thing, or you can look at that as possibly a Mitch Trubisky, where he doesn't have as much of that thing there. And I'm sort of with him there. Like, he's a lot more fun to do, but I personally like Justin Fields more, but I put that down to a bias because I saw him in that, I think it was the first season of QB1 on Netflix, and I was just like, as soon as you see him start coming through, I was just like, I remember that kid, and it sort of gives you that connection there sort of thing. But I think he is going to go there. Like, I think Jags and the Jets have made it pretty simple. They've set out there, hey, this is what we're doing. It is this, and then it is this. So I think there is a lot more boom or bust in Zach Wilson, but I think he's probably that little bit more fun to watch, but he's probably going to need a bit more help on that offense to help him out with that one.
I've heard people have gone back and looked, say, in the last 10 years, every quarterback taken in the first round, and you said boom or bust. Literally half of them end up busting. Like, when we go into the draft, we're always optimistic. This guy could be this guy could be that. The scary thing is it doesn't always work out, so it is fascinating. Clearly, we've got five quarterbacks that are going to be like definitely first round, if not probably top 10. And the reality is they're probably not all going to be successful. So it's interesting that you guys both really rate Justin Fields. And we move to pick number three. There's no guarantee that Fields will even be the number three pick. But this pick is owned by the 49ers, who have traded up to get this pick. It previously belonged to the Texans. So who are the 49ers? I'll start with you, Nettie. If you're reading the tea leaves, you got any mail, who are the 49ers trading up to grab here?
I was just sort of talking about there before. I read something earlier in the week. It says, of the last 10 years, five teams have traded up in the top three to take a quarterback. Those quarterbacks are RG3, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, and Mitch Trubisky, and not one of those quarterbacks are with their team anymore. So it sort of makes it interesting. Now, with this pick, I've sort of torn my hair out for it a lot. Like, as soon as the 49ers went up, I had heard on a few different podcasts and whatnot that they really liked, Mac Jones. They really liked him. So then when he went there, I just didn't believe it. I was like, nah, fucking surely not. I was the same as everyone else. And then all of a sudden, Schefter came out, reported it. I think Peter King reported it. Everyone reported it. And he dropped right down. And then I sort of kicked myself and I was just like, maybe my own bias towards Justin Fields. And then I started to go the other way, being like, you know, Shanahan could evolve his run game a lot more if he had a running quarterback. And you see, like, he coached Justin Fields up when he was younger and all this sort of stuff. And when it broke that he traded to the 40, when he traded into that number three pick, he was at Mac Jones's pro day. And I sort of thought, there's no fucking way that it could all happen that quick. I was just like, this had to be preordained and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know. I think I am just overthinking it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But the other side of it is everyone's like, you know, the number three pick, they got nothing to hide. They may as well just come out and say who they're saying. I don't believe Kyle Shanahan's like that. Like, he likes everyone thinking he's fucking smarter than everyone. And mediocre people don't act smart, and smart people don't act mediocre. So I think he would sit there in that situation, have everyone think Mac Jones, and then probably take either Trey Lance or Justin Fields. All that being said, I think he probably takes Mac Jones, but I don't really want him to be honest with you.
From a betting perspective, if you can figure out who the 49ers take at three, you can definitely profit off that in several other ways, because there's clearly going to be a domino effect. Jackson, who would you take if you were the 49ers at three, and who do you think they will take?
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. Like, if you're going off like my sort of mock draft, I've got Fields going too, so I would take Zach Wilson at three. But I think like the odds makers rarely get this. I say rarely, not really. Rarely get this shit wrong. So I would 100%, 1,000%, 1,000,000% take Justin Fields, which means they're not, because I'm a horrible punter when it comes to this sort of shit. So unfortunately, I think they're going to go fucking Mac Jones, who is just going to be the next fucking Jared Goff. There's nothing to Mac Jones' game. I know he's accurate. I know he's a good kid. The league's moved away from that, man. If you're not 42 years old, you can't be a statue in the pocket anymore. So they're going to take Mac Jones, and he's going to be a downgrade on Jimmy Garoppolo, and the 49ers are going to have missed their window. So I think this is the one lock of the draft, is that the 49ers are going to fuck up this number three pick. That's my lock of the draft.
You know, it could almost be arrogance from Shanahan that he believes whoever he takes, he can make it work. I've heard Mac Jones compared to, basically, it's Jimmy Garoppolo again on a rookie deal. And then it begs the question, what do they do with Garoppolo? Because you trade up to three. Garoppolo's actually on a palatable contract because they front-loaded it when they weren't any good. I'm going to talk later about could they trade Garoppolo. Let's talk about like trades as we get into this as well. But the odds are saying it's most likely Mac Jones, and even Trey Lance has come into the equation. And Jackson, you brought up Zach Wilson playing in a smaller conference for BYU, and therefore how much credence do you put in performances against smaller schools? Well, yeah. Trey Lance didn't even play Division I. He's played for North Dakota State. So again, it's very hard to, I guess, project, as opposed to Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, who played, you know, for the power programs. So,
Sorry, no, I don't mean to jump in. You know what would be a great move? They won't fucking do it, but a great move for me, if you have a look at Trey Lance and you decide that he's got that upside, but he's a little bit raw, and you've got Jimmy Garoppolo on your books and you've got a competitive side, would be to draft Trey Lance at three if you genuinely believed in him, invest in a bit of time with him, sitting behind Jimmy G, learn the ropes, and then once you get out of that nightmare of a contract, you fuck it off and Trey Lance comes in. They won't, because it's the 49ers, and I love the 49ers. You can see I'm speaking passionately about them here. But unfortunately, they're going to take Mac Jones. But I would love to see a team invest high up in the draft and do that. I know it's traditionally not the way they go. If you pick a quarterback at three, he better be your day one starter. But I would love to see them have a look at a guy like Trey Lance, or maybe even trade down a few spots, grab a guy like Trey Lance and invest in their future, but they won't.
Well, the fact that they traded up means either they know who they want, or they think there's a clear top three quarterbacks, and therefore they knew if they got to this spot, they'd be set. Mac Jones, of course, the Alabama starter. And I heard Pro Football Focus had him graded, I don't know if you heard this one, Netty, but the highest quarterback they've assessed, and they've been doing like their certain assessment for the last 8 years. So while he might be boring, he may be very efficient. And you've got to remember, Shanahan did get the 49ers to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's why he might be rightfully arrogant, that he thinks just with his zone blocking schemes and that he can make anybody a star. I think whoever gets drafted into this situation, it's a better situation than who goes 1 and 2. So it's a great landing spot because they're going to get showcased. Netty, let me know if you got any more thoughts on number three, and then lead us into the fourth pick, which is the Falcons, which is likely Falcons probably not going to take a quarterback. So this could be the first non-quarterback, but again, a trade down is definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I think following back on with that Trey Lance one, before all the Mac Jones stuff came out, that was the one that was actually linked to Shanahan the most before it. So there could be that thing there. And I think if he was to take Mac Jones, or if he was to take a Trey Lance, I think that's when teams will be fucking aggressive into trying to get into that four spot with the Falcons. And I've sort of linked a lot of my bets into that. If they do take Justin Fields or whatever, I don't think they'll probably, I think the Falcons are just going to sit there, and that's where they're going to be looking at that Kyle Pitts and whatnot. So I think they will get busy. If they take Mac Jones, someone will try and come up there. But I think the whole landscape changed once the Panthers made their draft pick for Sam Darnold as well. I think a lot of teams all of a sudden then went, okay, we're not as stressed here. Because then that sort of just leaves Denver in that situation. I know people were talking about Chicago and whatnot could come up, and possibly Detroit as well. But I think that just sort of, like I said, changed the whole landscape. Falcons will probably get stuck there, take Pitts, once in a generational tight end, so they speak. But I think it's very risky taking a tight end at four. We've seen this chat with TJ Hockenson the other year and OJ Howard. All these tight ends keep coming through. Everyone's like, they're generational. And then it's just, meh.
Just another Jackson. Tight end. Yeah, tight end. I've got the Falcons sitting there. But exactly what you said, mate, what happens at three is going to dictate a lot of whether or not they stay or move down. But I've got them taking Jamar Chase, but again, it's a coin flip between him and Pitts. I think Jamar Chase is that dude. I think, mate, perhaps having the year out, we might have forgotten just how fucking good this guy is. So I've got, I know it's very high for a wide receiver, but I've got Jamar Chase going there at four. I think the Falcons, I don't think they're ready to move on from the Matt Ryan era just yet. And unless they were completely in love with a guy like Trey Lance and they wanted to bring him in and do what I said the 49ers should do and sit in behind Matt Ryan, would be great. I'd love to see them do that as well. But I think they're just going to go for the full offensive monster here and have one last crack in this Matt Ryan window and go with a guy like Jamar Chase. But Pitts would be a great pick there as well. But yeah, to your point, they're kind of going against a bit of recent history there. If you take a tight end at four and hope that he turns into Travis Kelce, there's not too many Travis Kelces out there.
You say it's high for a wide receiver. The league has evolved. You know, it wasn't that long ago teams would take a running back here. Even, a couple of years ago, Saquon Barkley, and there's been quite a few high running back picks, and that's not going to happen this year. But now pass catchers are so valuable, and you mentioned a few. Now, if they take Chase, they've already got Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, so that'd be pretty hectic. But Kyle Pitts, Nettie, essentially is a wide receiver in a tight end's body. So I'm imagining like a Darren Waller, George Kittle, and you mentioned Kelce, Jackson, and that could be a game changer. And it's probably worth mentioning, yes, they've got Ryan. I still believe he can still do it at an elite level. And they've got a new head coach. Arthur Smith comes in, was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee. Once again, a guy who's probably going to believe that his system can improve the play. So he's probably going to look and say, I can fix Matt Ryan and I've got the weapons to do so. So I think they'll take Pitts. Just one other tidbit that I find fascinating. Arthur Smith, the son of the founder of FedEx. So his dad is literally a billionaire and he's worked his way up to be a head coach in the NFL. Like, I mean, who knows, maybe a couple of connections help you get along the way.
Yeah, but, careful with the worked his way up.
Still, I mean, you don't need to work, I assume. My dad had a billion. I don't know if I'd have that drive. So fair play. And the Titans have done well in the last couple of years. And the offense has really excelled. And he made a guy like Tannehill a Pro Bowler. So, yeah, I think that's really interesting. I've seen odds-wise, you can get like $1.90 on Pitts to be the first non-quarterback. To me, that seems like a good bet. So I think most people like Pitts even more than Chase. But to me, I feel like whoever the Niners take, it's going to leave obviously a couple more quarterbacks, like whether it be Fields or Lance that they don't take, that somebody else I think will just jump up and grab them. So I think that very, very high probability that pick could be traded, as could the fifth pick. Nettie, the Bengals are here at number five. What direction do you think they go?
Well, I know there's sort of been a lot of lobbying there for Jamar Chase, and there's a lot of memes and everything's come out, whether they take the offensive lineman or whether they take the wide receiver. And this can sort of get tied into the next with the Dolphins as well. Like I said, everyone's lobbying to get Joe Burrow and Chase back together. Well, let's say that the Bengals take Sewell or Slater there, then the very next pick is going to be the Dolphins, and everyone should do the exact same thing on trying to pair Tua back up with Jalen Waddle. Or possibly Devonta Smith in there, but I think it's too early for him. So I think one of the ones that we have, well, that I post out there, I think Jalen Waddle, it might have been $8 or $11 for first wide receiver gone, so you could sort of tie that in there. But I think for me, I think Cincinnati probably will take Jamar Chase. Like, he didn't play last year, but the year before that, he was a 19-year-old, and he was totally waxing cornerbacks that went in the first round of the draft last year. Like, he's pretty special in that sort of sense. But I think a lot of the value in taking those wide receivers in the first early rounds has sort of dropped off a bit. Like, there was a tweet I saw online the other day, and it was comparing some of the best first round wide receivers the last couple of years, the ones that were in the second round, and the second round were far and above better than the first rounders to an extent. So I don't know, I think they'll give Burrow what he wants. I think they'll give him Chase, but yeah, I think they'll stick with that one.
Well, last year everyone said the draft was stacked with wide receivers and a lot of names got thrown out there, including the famous video that we saw with you guys, Jerry Jeudy, CD Lamb, Henry Ruggs went first. But you'd probably say Justin Jefferson was the pick, to your point, that he went in the second round.
He was the fifth one as well.
Jackson, so what are your thoughts? You've mentioned Chase already, so we should say Chase went to LSU, same school as Joe Burrow. So there's that connection there that Burrow might want to hook up with him. But you've got Chase going fourth. So then who did you have the Bengals taking?
Yeah, I think this is more of an organizational pick. I don't think old Big Dick Burrow quite has that pull yet to get his guy in. So I think they give, I think they, like, he's their guy. I think we can all see Joe Burrow's the truth. So they get him some protection. I think they take Sewell there, the big offensive tackle out of Oregon. I think that's kind of my lock of the top 10, to be honest. I don't see them moving out of that five spot. I think they get the best rated offensive tackle. They protect their quarterback. And again, to your point before, you can invest in wideout help later in the draft. You know, Tyreek Hill wasn't a first, you know, one of those high rated receivers, and he's probably the best going around at the moment. So you can get talent at the wideout position later. You can't get talent at the offensive tackle position too late. So I think they take it offensive tackle here, predict their future and Joe Burrow. So I think that's a pretty easy pick, to be honest, at five for Cincinnati. I hope.
It's not sexy, but you're right. You do, yeah. When you've got a franchise quarterback already, which they obviously think they have in Burrow, and he got blown up last year, and that's why he bloody blew out his knee. But when he comes back, you've got to protect him. They've got an okay offensive line, but they could definitely invest into that. Number six pick is interesting as well. You touched on it there, Neddy. It's the Dolphins. And what we should note here as well is that the Dolphins traded up for this pick, which is fascinating two reasons. One, because it was Philly's pick. And it was only Philly's pick because they threw the game in week 17, which caused everyone to lose their marbles, where they did deliberately, where they benched, who's there?
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, right? Where they had opportunity to beat Washington. Washington wanted to give that game away. They wouldn't let them. And they ended up like getting a pick about four or five spots higher, which they've now traded down and basically scored an extra pick for the ability to throw that game. But why, Neddy, I'll start with you. Why do you think the Dolphins traded up? Who are they looking at here?
Well, I think that they've got the three people running very close together. They're either going to take what I believe it's either going to be Jamar Chase, Pitts if he fell, or one of the offensive linemen in Sewell or Slater. And they knew that coming back up to that spot. I think they want an attacker more than anything. But I think at the same time, they would be more than happy to get the lineman. But again, like one of the ones that I've put in there is Jaylen Waddle, nice and early, because everyone sort of said over the last coming years, this person's coming out, he's got Tyreek Hill speed. Like everyone said about Henry Ruggs and whatnot. No one has fucking Tyreek Hill speed. But over the last couple of years, the closest one we've actually seen probably come out is this bloke, Jaylen Waddle. So he's proper, proper fast. But I think, yeah, depending on how it stacks, I think this is probably where Jamar Chase comes off the board. Or if there's a trade up, Pitts might be going here as well.
Jackson.
Yeah, Waddle would be an awesome pick. I'd love to see him go there. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Jaylen Waddle is the pick there at six. I'd love to see Devonta Smith. I'm a big fan. I love the skinny kid that could and getting that Alabama collection as well. That's where I'd love to see him go. I think he's going to fall quite far. You're not hearing great, you know, scouting reports out of him. People just think he's too small for the big leagues, unfortunately, and tough to put a bit of size in him. So I think Waddle will go there at six. I'd love to see Devonta Smith. I reckon that'd be cool as fuck. But I'm a big believer in Tua, so I'm glad that the mail that you're hearing and then what we're seeing is that they're happy with him and they're investing in Tua long term, because it was, you know, this time a couple of years ago we were saying he was Trevor Lawrence surefire number one, like. People rated Tua as God's gift to quarterbacks coming out of college. So I'm glad to see the Miami are rolling with them. They're a cool, sexy team as well. When Miami, like the league's fun when Miami's good. So they're going to take a wide receiver here, whether it's Chase, whether it's Waddle or Devonta Smith, it'll be gone. They're going to take a wide receiver for sure.
That's a good point you make there about Tua, because he's had his critics last year. So there are some people saying, hey, you're in this position again. There's several quarterbacks that are going to be on the board. Like, it's so valuable getting that right guy. So it's a really big decision if they take a non-quarterback. It's showing a lot of faith. Few interesting things. You guys mentioning Devonta Smith, like maybe the third wide receiver off the board, because you guys have named Chase and Waddle higher. And Devonta Smith won the Heisman. And it's not often that a wide receiver wins the Heisman. And yet he's not even, you know, the first wide receiver to get picked. It shows that it's a stacked position this year. What I also find very interesting is we talked about number three and what a key inflection point it is for this draft. And who are the Niners going to take? Will it be Lance? Will it be Jones? Will it be Fields? And then we've gone pick 4, 5, 6, and none of us think any quarterbacks are going to go. So it's like there's three good ones on the board at three. We get to 7, and there could still be two good quarterbacks available, which again means there could be trade-up potential. Now, boys, a bit of magic here, a bit of editing magic. We are going to now look at a pick, a cameo pick that's been sent in from a group member called Lockie Hall.
Hi, Tripod family. It's Lachlan. I just want to share with you guys one player I like from the NFL draft. It's Trey Lance, over 6.5 draft position, meaning he gets picked 7th or later. I just don't see him getting picked in the first six picks in the draft. Number one is going to be Trevor Lawrence. Number two, Zach Wilson. That's just $1, $1.02. Pick three, the 49ers. It looks like it's most likely to be Mac Jones. Maybe Justin Fields, but very much Mac Jones. Pick four, I don't see Atlanta getting enough draft capital from any other team to go up and take their pick four. So I'm most likely seeing them take Pitts, Kyle Pitts. And pick five and six, the Dolphins and the Bengals. They've already picked QBs last year. They're not going to pick QBs this year. And for me, I just think they're going to be Jamar Chase and Penny Sewell. I just don't see how Trey Lance gets picked in the first six picks. And for me, $2.25 at Unibet or Bet365. I like that. Yeah, good luck if you take the tip. Thank you.
I will go against that, basically on the pure fact that I made the bet very early on Trey Lance under 7.5. So that's the only reason I'm going against that. So I don't want to.
Does that mean you think he might go at 7? We will talk about Detroit at 7 next.
Well, again, I got on that one real early before Carolina sort of made the moves and whatnot. So I was hoping that there was going to be a bit more of a scramble there. So that's the only reason I'm going against it. But his logic there, I think it's perfect, because when you look at those teams there, and I know everything's come out that Carolina might still want a quarterback. No, they just want people to want to trade in front so that way they can get more people to slide. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. So you could possibly look at someone coming into 7 with Detroit. But again, if there's still people sitting on the board there, people might just not move. And I know everyone keeps saying the Patriots might come up and all this sort of stuff, but maybe they fucking won't either. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them just keeps falling. So Detroit might be stuck having to make a selection here. They don't have any wide receivers. They don't have anyone on defense. So this is, I think, where you could see Micah Parsons go or possibly another wide receiver.
Is Micah Parsons the boy out of Penn State? Is he the
linebacker?
Oh, yeah. People seem to... I haven't watched him play.
No, so there's a big thing with him. This is the one I've got to pick here, the first defensive player that I think goes. And he's the biggest threat at this spot solely because of the whole chat that the new Lions coach gave about biting knees and getting knocked down and all this and other shit.
Fuck, so that was weird.
Yeah, super weird. So this Micah Parsons, he's a bit of a ball breaker, but the reason he's sliding down the draft boards is because he got in trouble for hazing in college and he insinuated helped start a couple of riots. I mean, nothing says knee biter more than a couple of riot starters. So that's the only thing I'm sort of a bit worried there. But other than that, I think...
And just to, clarify that, Nettie, you're worried because you've selected Sertan to be the first defensive player off the board. Who do you see? I know we might be jumping out of order, but who do you think picks him up then, the quarterback, cornerback?
There could be anywhere coming up, 8, 9, 10, 11. Any of them could grab him. So that's Carolina, Denver, Dallas, Giants, even Philly, all up through there, all need a decent cornerback. And, I mean, the worst-kept secret is Dallas is after him. And Dallas is one of the teams that year in, year out, they sort of just say... this is who we like, and it just goes out there into the internet, and then that person seemingly makes their way to them no matter what. But I think because it's a relatively thin, blue-chip collar type draft for the defensive guys, I think teams will get a bit more proactive in trying to grab the 1, 2, 3 of them that are good off the board pretty quick. And I think this is that spot where they start to come and grab them.
It took a while for us to talk about any defensive players, didn't it? It's all offense at the top of the draft in this one. And yet... the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the Super Bowl champions, and they did it with an elite defense, I'd say, as much as the GOAT had a big hand in that. It was a phenomenal defense, and I do wonder if that influences teams' thinking that you can still, because it used to be, oh, offense is overtaken and it's a passing league, but Tampa Bay showed that if you've got an elite defense, they've obviously shut down Pat Mahomes and company. Jackson, rewind to number 7, pick owned by Detroit. They made the big trade, sending Stafford to the Rams, and they've gotten Goff, but it doesn't mean they believe in Goff. They basically were paid a first rounder to take Goff. So do you think they're going to play him there and just start to rebuild? Also, they've got a new coach in. Or is this a position where they could straight away, they could take a quarterback?
Man, this would be, if you're a betting man, I'd be staying away from anywhere around pick 7. I think they could do, I mean, I had Caleb Farley going here, who's the cornerback out of Virginia Tech, but I'm a weird. I like to, whoever's the highest rated corner, I like to go the next one down. And I have no method to that madness. That's just what I like to do. So I've got Farley going there, but they could do anything here. I could really see, if this draft is going the way that we've explained it, we've mapped it out here in our sort of mocks, and you get to the 7 spot and you have Mac Jones and or Trey Lance, Justin Fields sitting there, if one or two of those guys are still sitting there, I think you could see a team like the Bears make a move. It's very un-Patriots-like. I know everyone wants to see them come up and grab a quarterback. That's that's just I don't see Bill Belichick ever doing that, especially not into seven. So I can see the Bears maybe trying to wiggle some things and make a move right up there. And if you're Detroit, you're in full rebuild mode. Fucking take whatever you can get, man. So I think they do, to answer your question long-winded way, I think they do stick with Goff for the immediate future, whether that's 18 months to 2 years, I don't know. I'm not a super disbeliever in Goff. I don't think he's the worst quarterback going around. But he's you know, we've seen kind of the ceiling for Goff, and it's unfortunately not super outstanding quarterback play. Whereas if you think Trey Lance could do that for you, maybe they do take him. So that's a really shit answer because I've got Caleb Farley going there. But it could be anyone, man. I think seven's a nice spot for the Bears. If they've clearly identified their guy and he's still sitting there at seven, I think they should move heaven and earth to jump up there and try and get their quarterback.
I mean, Goff also played in the Super Bowl not that long ago, and I agree that it could be a good spot to trade down, keep accumulating assets. You're not winning this year anyway if you're Detroit. One thing about New England, and I would love to know what you think, Nettie, because have they re-signed Cam Newton as of yet?
One year, right?
But there's no guarantee they would start him. It was quite a rough season last year. Hey, it would be totally uncharacteristic to trade up if you're the Pats. But it's kind of uncharacteristic to spend a heap of money in free agency this year too. So you do wonder if there's a bit of an all-in approach with the Pats. Is something changing there? But we'll move to the Panthers, which is your team, Nettie, through and through. And we've got, of course, mentioned that you alluded to earlier, they traded for Darnold. So they've got the belief in him. So I'd love to get your thoughts on Darnold, and the floor is yours as well, where you think they're going to take this pick.
I appreciate you, Jacko, for everything you and your empire has done for him, mate. So I promise to look after the best that we can.
Good luck.
I think we're definitely either going corner on this one or offensive lineman. I know there's a bit of chat they want to get out of it, but it's like anything. There's been so much talk about teams wanting to come up and teams wanting to go down. Like, you've got to find someone to dance with you at the party. And I reckon Carolina, they're going to try all they can. I know they've got a new GM and he's made a history of being able to trade back in the draft. But again, I think they're probably going to stay put. There could be Sewell, there could be Slater there, or there could be Patrick Surtain. And I think they should take either one of those three, whoever's there for them at the moment.
Jackson, any thoughts on what the Panthers should do or who you had in your mock?
Yeah, couldn't agree more with either one of those three guys are still sitting there. That's who they will take. In my mock, I had Kyle Pitts falling all the way to eight. So I know there's a bit of, there you go. If you're chasing some money, I think he could fall, man. I know the talk is that he's generational, but I don't subscribe to that for the exact reason that you alluded to before, Nettie. We've heard that before and it hasn't worked out. And there's such quarterback needy teams ahead of them. I think a guy like this, you could see trickle down. He's not going to fall any lower than this. So this is the absolute fucking dirt bottom floor for Kyle Pitts. If he got picked at eight, it'd be that disrespectful. But he'd be an amazing pickup for Carolina. I'm a big Sam Darnold guy. I think he was, you know, my amazing franchise did him no fucking favors. I think he's still a very good young quarterback with a lot of upside. He's a gunslinger. He does make mistakes, but so do a lot of young players. If the talent's there, I think it's a great pickup for Carolina. I'm not convinced he's a shitload better than Teddy Bridgewater, but
he's better.
there you go. For a Carolina fan, there you go. But I would love to see if Kyle Pitts is, obviously, if he falls there, boom, that's, you don't even have to fucking just pick up the phone and dial and pick Kyle Pitts. But yeah, Slater would be a great pick there, or Sewell, whichever one of those two is still sitting there. That's where Carolina should go with this.
And certainly the Panthers are buying low with Darnold because it's been a rough, you know, tenure in New York. But Darnold was the number one pick for a lot of people until the Browns just kind of shifted towards taking Baker a couple of years ago. You probably say that draft had a lot of QBs in it. You probably say the Browns got it right. I suppose in retrospect, Josh Allen went about 12.
I don't mean to jump in here. A lot of people, I heard, and I'm going to forget his name now, it might have been Malachi, but one of the draft analyst gurus talking about Sam Darnold, he said if he was in this draft right now, he's a second-rated quarterback. Like, that's how highly people did rate Darnold, and I know it didn't work out in New York, and we saw how bad he was, the worst QB in terms of QBR last year, but there is still upside in Sam Darnold, and I was spewing when my boys traded him away, although I'm happy that we're still picking it too. I'm happy with that, but I think that it's a great pickup for Carolina considering what they gave up, you know, to get him there. So
isn't he only a year older than Trevor Lawrence as well, or something like that? Like, he's still extremely young.
He came in very, very young. I think he's only 21 or 22 or something. Stupid.
Yeah.
I think that taking a guy who was a really high pedigree and got put in a horrible situation, I think could be smart. They've got new ownership and leadership in Carolina. And we're on the topic of QBs and Denver are next on the board at 9, and they're a team that definitely needs a QB, so I suppose they will take whichever one falls to here if they didn't trade up already. Maybe I'll start with you, Jackson. What do you reckon Denver's going to do? Who did you have in your mock?
Yeah, Trey Lance. They are so quarterback needy. I love me some Drew Lock off the field, but on the field he's fucking rubbish. So they're gonna 100% take a quarterback here. Mac Jones wouldn't be a bad option. Sort of less risk, maybe less upside than a Trey Lance. I don't know if Trey Lance can come in and get it done straight away. That's why I like Trey Lance if he goes to a better system and can sit. I don't think, again, for the same reason that I go Fields over Zach Wilson. I'm big on resume and I'm big on competition, and I don't care how talented Trey Lance is, I don't want to see him as a day one starter. In Denver, he probably would be. So I think they take him here. I would prefer to see Mac Jones. But in my mock draft, I've got Trey Lance going here. Denver just got to pick someone and hit, man. They can't keep doing this.
Nettie?
If John Elway was still involved, I'd say it definitely wouldn't be Trey Lance because he's not tall enough, wide enough, and shit enough. So that's what I can do around this era. But I've sort of been taking a swing at Denver the last couple of years for them going after a linebacker. The last couple of years, there's been a linebacker around there. I expected them to pick it, and they haven't done it. And that's sort of what Fangio likes in his defense. So, again, this could be a spot for Parsons. But I think if Trey Lance or another quarterback is there, this is where they'll be going for sure.
And, Nettie, you've said, because Dallas are at 10, and you've got them potentially taking Sertan at which would be the first defensive player off the board for your bet. Yep. If it goes that way, who did you have there, Jackson?
Yeah, I had Slater, but I don't know why, because now I realize I've got him twice in here. So let's brush that. let's brush that. Yeah, look, Dallas, I, who gives a fuck, to be honest. The reason I think they'll take an offensive tackle is, like, protect Dak and run the ball with Zeke. The last time the Cowboys were half decent or half relevant is when they had great line play. They need to get back to that. They've got the wide receiver weapons now. The defense, their linebacking core is supposed to be very good. They were fucking ordinary last year, but they're supposed to be good individually. Perhaps it was a scheme issue, I'm not sure, but I don't think they'll take a defensive player here. I think they'll invest in that offensive line if one of those two to three boys are still hovering around there. But yeah, who gives a fuck? It's Dallas, man.
Now, we could go on, but I thought we'll stop at top 10 and then just kind of go wild card, open slather. So, Nettie, is there a player that you really want to talk about who's not top 10, but you just want to highlight him or take it in a different direction? Is there any team that you think you could potentially see trading up into the top 10? So we haven't mentioned them yet, but you think there's a good chance in the draft that they actually will possess one of these picks. So, and what do you want to bring up? Otherwise, just give us any of your other bets that you haven't mentioned yet?
The one of the bets that I have about someone that's a little bit under the radar, his name is, and forgive me, my friend, if for whatever reason you're listening to this podcast, it is Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa. Yeah. Could be that. Yeah. So I've got him under 19.5, and you can actually get him as a first linebacker taken for $8. So we spoke about this. So Micah Parsons is also sliding. The thing with Micah Parsons is he's not a very good pass defending linebacker, whereas Jeremiah, we're just going to call him that for this time, actually is. He's a good pass defender. He's a lot quicker and all that sort of stuff. And teams that have been linked to him, Arizona's pretty high on him, Las Vegas pretty high on him. Those sort of teams definitely need a linebacker. And I mean, let's say Carolina do move back a spot or two, they're going to need linebackers at the same time as well. So there's that in terms of a linebacker, or possibly someone you've never fucking heard of could be sneaking up there. As for someone slotting into that top 10, honestly, like, I was looking at it before. I think Unibet has total trades in the first round over under 5.5. I just have a feeling there's not going to be that many trades. Like, we saw it even just the other day, like the Ravens and Chiefs, they traded one in there. I feel like everyone's just getting it done beforehand. So I don't know there's actually going to be that much movement in this year's draft. And I think with all the COVID stuff that happened last year and not much playing, I think a lot of teams might be more willing to just sit put instead of putting assets on the line for commodities they're not too sure about.
Jackson, any other thoughts on the draft overall?
Yeah, no, I love that under 5.5. I agree exactly for those reasons. I can't see a shitload of movement. I think that number 3 pick is going to dictate or blow apart any and all bets that we do have on. I think we all know that. But that 7 spot's the only place I can potentially see a team, like, depending on how aggressive Chicago want to be and whether or not they've identified their guy, if they have and he starts to drop, I think you could see them make a real play for Detroit at 7 there. And Detroit, again, what are you doing hanging on to 7? If someone offers you a haul for 7, take it straight away. The one thing which people keep on talking to me about, and it's not going to happen, the Patriots will not trade up into the top 10. I promise you that right fucking now. They'll take some buck fucking no-name quarterback in the 15th round out of the school you've never heard of. So, yeah, I love that under 5.5. I don't think we see a lot of movement. If we do, I think it's going to be Chicago coming to that 7 spot and trying to grab their quarterback.
That'll be something interesting to keep an eye on. Like, the thing about the Patriots there, I think they're quite secure in themselves. But for people in positions of power who feel insecure, I think when you draft a QB early in the draft, it buys hope in the fan base and it buys a little bit of time, because if you're, I guess, on the hot seat and then you go all in, even though it's not advisable to trade up, we've seen that teams give up too much draft capital to get a guy that often doesn't work out, but they usually get a couple of years for people to wait and see. Whereas if you pick a player like an offensive lineman, it doesn't dramatically kind of change the franchise, and you might not be around in 4 or 5 years to reap the benefits of the success. And one other bit of feedback I'll give you, Nettie, for your tip, I like it because the same notion that running backs are not as highly valued these days, run-stopping linebackers are not as highly valuable. You need to be able to cover at the linebacker position, and that is where Jeremiah could be more highly coveted by some teams for that ability. That was great chat, lads. Thank you very much for making the time. Jackson, hope you enjoyed that chat as much as we did. Can you please let everyone know like where they can follow you and more of your content?
Yeah, mate. Look, I'm with YKTR full-time now, so that's at YKTR Sports. We've got a show. Justin and I will be doing a Rookie in the NFL special tomorrow as well, so it'll be a lot more of me recycling what Nettie's just said and pretending that I came up with it all. So if you could please send me this podcast ahead of time, that'd be great. But it's just at YKTR Sports, at Vintage Jackson on Instagram. But I'm enjoying your boys' content as well, man. That was a lot of fun. We could do this every week, bro. If I had known that we were rippling to the Bears, Nettie, I would have felt fucking...
I never stopped, mate. That's the trick.
And wait till you see Nettie on Friday, because I know you got the day off, Nettie, and I know you've been sharing tips in the app, and you probably will continue to do if any more come up. But can you let us know what other content you've got planned? Have you got a solo show coming up this week as well?
Yeah, so the plan was to actually get it out this weekend, but I had a Bucks party and fucking sent it, so that one went out the window. So I plan to possibly drop one, I'd say either Tuesday or Wednesday. A lot of the bets that I have put out now have completely been picked to death, so there's not much value in it. So hopefully you've been following along, but I will continue to try and find some more. Hopefully we get it out and people can jump on it if they've been a bit late to the party. So let's say Wednesday. Fuck it, we'll do Wednesday.
Beautiful. Wednesday, people got look forward to that. And of course, my NRL round 8 preview. Wait,
you do something on Wednesday. Yeah, let's.
But nobody's paying attention to my NRL tips, mate. I'm only 66% this year, so wouldn't worry about it. Thanks, boys. Really enjoyed it and look forward to the draft. Okay, guys, as promised, I thought since we're doing an American sports pod on the NFL draft, same people interested in that might also be the type of people who are on some or all of the NBA futures tips that I've given out. And there's a month to go left in the regular season. Gave out a bunch of picks in December just before the season tipped off, as well as a couple I've given out throughout the season. I thought, let's review them. I gave out 8 tips, which some of you guys may be on some of them. And I could say one's definitely going to win, one's definitely going to lose, and the other 6 I think are either going to come first or second. I've done a good job, but in saying that, a lot of these could go either way. And I thought I'll share my thoughts briefly on each of them. First of all, the one that's going to lose, my pick before the season, Luka to win MVP at $5. How it's going, he's definitely not going to win the MVP. He's like 40-1 now, but don't back that at all. Jokic, as you can see there, $1.20 is going to win the MVP. And some people might be saying, Jacob, you should have picked that. You know, I'm a Nuggets fan. I actually gave out Nuggets to win the West last playoffs at 13-1. I knew the capability of Nikola Jokic, but in saying that, like, I didn't see this season coming. There's a lot of reasons why it's panned out well for him. First of all, this was LeBron's to lose, the way that LeBron was playing earlier in the year. Then he got injured. Then I thought Joel Embiid was going to win this. He also got injured. Luka, he didn't come into the season in great shape. His team didn't play well. They haven't won enough games. A guy who's not on this list, Steph Curry, I think has played MVP level, but his team won't win enough games. And Giannis has also played MVP level, but he's won the last 2 MVPs. Voters get sick of voting for the same person. This is going to be Nikola Jokic, which is pretty amazing. I'd love to know if anyone got on him at juicy odds. What's the next one I gave out? Here's the one that's going to win. The Hawks actually had a big win today, and I only gave out one season future win total bet for the NBA. In fact, it was a win percentage they made the market, just because in case any games were lost for COVID. And I played the Hawks over 47.5%, so they didn't even need to win half their games this year. They're currently 34-27. Only way this can lose is if they lose their final 11 matches of the season. They're actually killing it. They're the 5th seed in the East, and I just said I thought they'll be a playoff team. And they haven't really been that lucky either. They lost a lot of close games early in the year. They had a lot of injuries. They fired their coach. And actually, the new coach coming in has sparked some life, as well as getting guys back on deck. Bogdanovich has been a huge addition. The team's just really exciting, fun to watch. This was a fun pick to cheer all season long. And we're going to cash our one and only season win percentage bet very easily there with the Hawks. Then LaMelo Ball. This has been a roller coaster. So I tipped LaMelo Rookie of the Year. Now, he was the favorite, but I just thought he'd get the opportunities with the Hornets. He was as short as $1.05 in, I think, January, maybe early Feb. I pretty much saw this as a lock. And then he broke his arm, and he was basically ruled out for the season. And then you start looking at it at the time. He played about 40 games. And the season is 70 games long. It's a voted award, so there's no exact benchmark you have to hit. It's just, would the voters still give him the credit that he was by far and away the best rookie of the crop? And then Anthony Edwards, the number one pick from the Timberwolves, has been going along pretty well, getting a lot of ball, scoring a lot of points. And Edwards came into like $1.50, but we got a minor miracle, I think about a week ago. The news come out that LaMelo Ball's wrist has healed well from the surgery, and he's going to return for the last 12, 15 games. And I think everyone knows that he's going to come back to cement that trophy and cement that award and come back and get opportunities. And that'll get him over 50 games played. And if nothing goes wrong, as you can see the odds now, he's $1.36. I think we're going to win that LaMelo Ball Rookie of the Year. Next up, Defensive Player of the Year, I went Ben Simmons, 17-1. That was really juicy odds. He's currently the second favorite, as you can see. Rudy Gobert, $1.15. Ben Simmons, $4.50. Now, I talk about voter fatigue. I actually think that really plays into Simmons' favor. I wonder if the voters, the media, want to give this award to Gobert again. He's won it multiple times. Don't forget, he was the kind of patient zero that started the COVID outbreak in the NBA. Not that it was his fault, but he made a bit of a mockery of it all. Like, does that have a bit of bad faith amongst some of the voting community? The Jazz have won a heap of games this year, but defensively, I think Philadelphia is rated a better side than the Jazz. And Simmons has had like performances where he can lock up front court players. He can lock up guards like Dame Lillard. Like, he's been sensational to me. If I'm voting for it, I believe Simmons deserves it. I believe he's phenomenal, kind of wing guard, versatile defender. Fills the stat sheet with blocks and steals. But he's got this mystery illness. He's missed the last 5 games, and now I'm worried that may just, because people always have kind of that recency bias, if he hasn't been putting out the big performances late in the year, and if it results in a few extra Philadelphia losses, does he miss out a bit cruelly? So I think this is still going to go down to the wire. Very hard to predict with our voted awards, but it's 17-1. It's a great ticket to have on Ben Simmons, and I hope Aussie Ben can bring it home and win that one for us. Then NBA champion, I was all over this. Brooklyn Nets, $7. And I laid it out. I said that the talent is undeniable, and I really feel they're going to get James Harden. And both those things have turned out to be true. They're now the favorites. The odds have more than halved. And I still think that's going to be the case. I think that, you know, they've had guys sitting out all the time. They've played it so safe with all their superstars through the year. If they've got any doubts, they just don't play these guys. So they're all going to be fresh. And I really think Brooklyn are basically unbeatable when they're all on the floor. I guess the only thing that's going to stop them winning this title would be the players that are susceptible to injury. Like if Durant gets another injury in the playoffs, or James Harden's hamstring troubles him, and Kyrie, of course, is never a certainty to be on the court. That's the only thing I think that's going to stop them from beating anybody in a 7-game series. So that's a great ticket if you've got the Nets at $7. I said they'd meet the Clippers in the Western Finals. It's not that I thought the Clippers are better than the Lakers, but preseason I thought the Clippers odds were a lot better value at $4 compared to the Lakers. Now, we're going to get to a couple of my division bets, and it's funny because I've gone against the Nets and I've gone against the Clippers for division bets. That's because division is decided in the regular season, and conference and title are decided in the playoffs. Those are two totally different things. So I think the Clippers are going to be very hard to beat in a 7-game series. I think they're going to meet the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, whereas teams that have done really well regular season like Utah, and we'll get to Phoenix, I don't see those sides being as deadly in the regular in the playoffs. It's a different animal, but yeah, the Clippers still look pretty good, look locked and loaded, and as long as they've been playing it pretty safe again with a guy like Kawhi and Paul George looking a bit better than he was in the playoff bubble last year. So I think that battle of LA to win the West is the series we all deserve, and yeah, I think it can go either way. So $4 on the Clippers is still a pretty solid bet to make the finals. And then a couple of division bets that I gave out through the year. Philadelphia at $2.84 to win the Atlantic. And they are into favoritism with about 15 games to go. They actually were as low as $1.30 a week ago. They've lost three games in a row. As I mentioned, Simmons' mystery illness and Embiid's got shoulder soreness. So this is by far not a lock yet. In fact, Philadelphia are 1.5 games behind the Nets. The Nets aren't even trying to win these regular season games. They're resting people willy-nilly, but they still just keep racking up these wins, which is what makes this Nets team so phenomenal. So I think it'll be more of the same in the last few games. The Nets will play it easy. The 76ers might put a bit more emphasis on trying to get the one seed, but it's funny, in the Eastern Conference, there's three clear heavyweights, with Milwaukee running third at the moment, being the other big contender. So there is motivation for both of these two teams that are both in the same division to finish with the best record in the East and avoid that really tough second round playoff series. So yeah, this one's a scary one. Look, once I give a tip out, I'm not big into like, oh, cash out or hedge off it. So once I give a tip out, I like the tip, I ride it. You guys can judge me based on how my initial tips go. But if you are nervous, I would not blame you for betting the Nets at over $2 and securing a profit on this one, because I do not feel overly confident in Philadelphia. I think it comes down to the wire. I think $2.84 is a great price, but I definitely can't say we've got that one in the bag. And pretty much exactly the same case with Phoenix. I just watched them play the Nets today and they lost. Durant came back for that one, and I talked about the Nets when they want to win. They're so hard to beat. And then last game, there was a chance Tatum and Walker weren't going to play for the Celtics. Of course, they did. Celtics beat the Suns. The Suns are on a two-game losing streak as well, on a really deadly Eastern road trip. They did get wins over Philadelphia and over Milwaukee, at least. Tomorrow, they play the Knicks, which you wouldn't have thought would be a tough game. But the Knicks have won 10 in a row. So basically, we got the Suns at $6 to win the Pacific. Davis, LeBron, Davis was injured when I gave the tip out, but LeBron's gotten injured, so that eliminated the Lakers. This is a two-horse race, Suns versus Clippers. Clippers, despite resting guys and not prioritizing regular season, just keep pulling out wins like you wouldn't believe. You go back and look at the last week of Clippers games I posted in the group. They won three different times where they had a less than 10% chance in live betting, according to kind of probability tracking. They won three games with 10% chance in a week, so that's killed us. In saying that, the Suns are still two losses better in the standings than the Clippers, but they play the New York tomorrow, and then they play the Clippers on Thursday. So I really think this division could come down to who wins that game between the Suns and the Clippers. Good thing for us is it's in Phoenix. Bad thing for us is the tiebreaker already belongs to LA regardless, so the Suns will have to finish with a better record. And it's going to come down to the wire. Like, other factors that are going to come into this, they both each have a game against the Lakers in the final couple of weeks of the season. You know, is that a night that LeBron and AD show out, or is it a night that LeBron and AD get a night off? Like, who knows? And when you get to the final week of the season, you just don't know which teams are trying and which teams are desperate. So it really is going to be, I think, a coin flip in this one. Once again, I'll ride or die the Suns, $6. It's obviously a great bet to be on, but I'm far from confident after what I've seen, the amount of wins I've seen the Clippers pull out of the fire, and this tough road trip for the Suns, and then they've got to play the Clippers after playing a murderer's row of five straight games. It's tough. So as much as the Suns were clearly underrated and the bookies made the price too high because they overrated Clippers and Lakers in the regular season, and the Suns team's been bloody fun to watch and cheer along every day, yeah, this one's far from over as well. If you look at those odds, I want to say, Alex, what are you doing? Those are horrendous odds, $1.75 to $1.90. I just put all these odds up on Ladbrokes just because they always keep their markets open, but it could vary a little bit from bookie to bookie. These aren't necessarily, I didn't share all these tips necessarily on Ladbrokes. But again, I don't blame you if you just want to eliminate the stress and take the Clippers at $2 roughly now, and then you secure that profit as well. That's maybe what you'd look at doing. I wasn't able to bet on all of these myself. Some of these were on bookies I can't get a bet on, but some of these I do have money on. I think you guys can tell which ones I'm riding really hard with you. So I'll be updating throughout the next few weeks and see how we go. As I say, these could all come second brutally, or a bunch of these could win. I think either way, they've been really good value tips to ride on. Thanks for tuning into this, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the NFL draft. Thanks again to Jackson and Nettie. And good luck if you are on any of these NBA tips. Let me know what you think, if you think they're going to win, or any other tickets you're riding. And we'll see you guys again on Wednesday for the NRL Round 8 preview. Lego.